Good morning, church.
Good morning.
What a joy it is to welcome each and every one of you as we come together this day celebrating the presence of Almighty God in our lives, the grace and forgiveness that we receive from Jesus Christ. As we come together to worship, may the presence of Christ rest upon each and every one of us. May Christ meet us where we are and seek to change and transform us into that which Christ desires for us to become. And as we worship together, may the peace of Christ be with you. And so let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to one another.
Good morning. Good to see you. Good to see you.
Good morning. Good morning, and I offer a warm welcome to all present this morning, and especially any visitors that we may have. We do have a welcome packet for you if you would like. You can see one of the ushers, or you can find that welcome pack on a shepherd's crook located in the narthex. That's out the double doors directly in front of you. A reminder to please sign the registration sheet in your red folder located at the end of each pew. Pass it to others in the pew and bring it back to the center aisle. If you do have a prayer request this morning, you will find 3x5 index cards in those red holders. Please complete that card, and then there's a clear holder at the end of the pew. The ushers will bring it forward to Reverend Lake. I do have a few announcements this morning. A reminder from our camp steward, Laurie, that summer is approaching very quickly, and that means church camp. And there are brochures and applications located in the narthex. And if you have any questions, please contact Laurie directly. Her phone number is in today's bulletin. We also have a reminder from Kim that desperate help is needed in the nursery. We provide a child care nursery each Sunday after during our worship service now at 10:45. If you would like to volunteer, please see Kim or contact her, and her phone number is in the bulletin as well. And the United Methodist Women will be hosting a ladies' spring tea in several weeks on Sunday, May 22nd, here in the church from 12:30 to 3 p.m., and it's for all women aged 18 and older. There is a sign-up sheet that will be available today. I believe Bernie will be manning that table. Is that right, John? Is she coming up to man the table? He's not here anyway. Bernie will be manning that sign-up table. And finally, if you haven't smelled it, clear your nostrils, because my hunger pangs are going into overdrive. Today is our spud bar, and if you do smell something luscious, it's bacon cooking, and there's baked potatoes baking, and all kinds of goodies for toppings. So please join us today after worship for the spud bar that is sponsored by our outreach committee. And then a final reminder to check the remainder of your announcements, meetings, and other activities in the life of our church.
Thank you.
I would now ask that you please rise and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response. Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all peoples praise you.
Let all nations be glad and sing for joy.
For you judge the peoples with justice and truth.
Let all the ends of the earth revere you, Holy One.
For you bless your people with peace and hope.
Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
Please remain standing and join me in our opening prayer as printed in your bulletin. Guiding Spirit, you come to us in visions and dreams, calling us beyond the narrow confines of our waking perceptions. Open our hearts this day, as you opened the heart of Lydia before us, that we might understand Christ's teaching and share his presence with those we meet. Guide our footsteps on our journey, as you guided Paul's footsteps around the shores of the Mediterranean Sea, that we may go where you send us to share your message of love and peace with a world scarred by hate and violence. Amen. And please remain standing for our hymn of praise number 428 in your red hymnal.
Seated. Well, good morning. How's everyone today? Did you have a good week? Did you have a good weekend? Did you play out in any rain yesterday? No, it didn't rain yesterday too much, did it? It was sunny. Yes. So I have a little story to tell you today. You good at listening to stories? All right. This one comes from, what do you think this book is?
Bible.
The Bible, the Holy Bible. And this comes from John's Gospel. and it talks about Jesus. Now, it says that Jesus was in Jerusalem for a feast. What's a feast? A big meal, like Thanksgiving, is a feast. So Jesus is there for a feast. And says, now there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, must be a gate that sheep came in, there was a pool, like a swimming pool of water, in Hebrew called Bethesda, which has five porticles, but around this pool of water, like this swimming pool, people that couldn't walk or had bad legs or arms, people that needed healed, would lay next to that water, that pool. And there was one man laying there who had been ill for 38 years. That's a long time. It says the one man was there sick for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him and knew that he had been lying there a long time, Jesus said to him, do you want to be healed? Oh my, that would be exciting, wouldn't it? For Jesus to heal you so you'd be able to walk and run and play again. And the sick man said, but I don't have anybody to help me in the water. When the water bubbled like a jacuzzi, that's when it was time to get in. And the first person who got in got healed. And he said, I don't have anybody to help me in. And Jesus said to him, rise, pick up your blanket, and walk. And immediately, the man was healed, and he took up his blanket, and he walked. Wow! Isn't that a neat story? The man needed Jesus, and Jesus was there, and Jesus helped him, and Jesus got up and walked home. How many years could he not walk? 38 years he couldn't walk. That's probably like, I'm older than that. It's more than you are, and maybe longer than some of your moms and dads even, too. That's a long time. And yet Jesus, just like that, said, get up, pick up your blanket, and walk. And so Jesus has that power to do lots of things for us in our world. Let's bow for prayer. Dear Jesus, we are thankful for your power and your presence in our lives. If healing someone can be that easy, oh, how easy it is to offer to us grace and forgiveness every day. How easy it is for you to walk with us so that we are never alone. Bless, oh God, these boys and girls that they live and may grow for you. For it's in Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Diane and the choir. Our scripture reading this morning is from the New Testament book of Revelation, starting in chapter 21 with verses 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he also said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will inherit this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my children. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, and all liars, their place will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Then came one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, and spoke to me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its light is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And here ends the reading of John's words in Revelation. And I would now ask that our ushers come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering. Most loving God, thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to bring the peace of Christ. We are grateful that you continually teach us through your Spirit. Let your loving presence be known through our church's ministries, and please accept these offerings as a sign of our trust in you. And we pray all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Please be seated. There's a big gap this morning. We come to that time in our service to lift up joys and concerns for individuals and situations in our midst. If you turn on the back of our worship folder, you will see our prayer list this morning. As is tradition, we have those in our personal care and rehab facilities, those that we continually pray for, as well as this month that rotate on and off, and our service personnel as well. Some additional ones this morning. Tom here announced at the first service that Sandy continues to be in Forbes Hospital. She had some back surgery this past week and hopefully will be coming home tomorrow. She is doing well. Some ones that have been received now, pray for a grieving family who have lost their unborn child. So we want to remember that family as well. Kayla, that is Joel and Sue's daughter-in-law, she has had some complications from an appendix surgery, and she's home, right, but has a PICC line in care for some visiting nurses and slowly recuperating, so we want to remember her continued recovery as well. And we have with us this morning, I knew I recognized the face, but I had to go have a conversation, Reverend Bill Wilson and his better half, Mary Jane. Welcome to have them here. They just moved into the area, are living with your son, correct, in the area. Now, I remember, Bill, seeing your picture in the directory, and listed around you were, what, two other Reverend Bill Wilsons. Were there three in the conference at one point? A bunch of Reverend Wilsons? There's only one of you. That's right. Were there two other Reverend Wilsons? There's Bob Wilson, who is out of this church as well, had served here. And then was there one other? There was another Bob Wilson that served in Shadyside. And so there were a bunch of Reverend Wilsons for a while, but you're not connected to any of them, and you are unique in your own right. So he's not been a part of this church before. This is their first time here. And as I said, a retired pastor. How long have you been retired? 23 years. And some of you will remember our previous district superintendent, William Meekins. William claims that this is the guy that got him into ministry. So we celebrate that as well. William is near and dear to our hearts. So I pray that the church will welcome you as they do. So let us continue now remembering those prayer needs around the world as well, those situations that are near and dear to our hearts. And let us share together now in our prayer hymn number 472, Near to the Heart of God.
Near
Gracious and loving God, as we come into your house this day, we seek to be drawn nearer and nearer to your heart. For when we, O God, are near to your heart, then we value those things that you value. We see people as you see them. We seek to be engaged in mission and ministry that is important to you. For it is, O God, all about you, not about us, not about our wishes and our desires, but about yours. And so we pray, O God, each and every day that we would seek to be drawn closer to you so that we would be involved in that which you desire to change, to transform, and to make new. O God, we come together today to worship and to celebrate gifts and blessings from you. We come together today, O God, to receive this holy meal of communion, grace, and forgiveness that is offered through your Son, Jesus Christ. We come to say thank you for all that you've given to us. We come, O God, to pray for an empowering of your Holy Spirit, the gifting of each of us through your Spirit and those spiritual gifts to be used for mission and ministry within your church. We come, O God, to pray for individuals and situations around us. We are aware, O God, that General Conference is right around the corner. We pray even now that your Spirit will guide and direct the delegates from around the world. And that we, O God, might remember that it's not about our agendas, but it's about you and your church. And again, O God, may we be about that which you desire to change, to transform, to make new. May it be about sharing and spreading and living the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We come, O God, mindful of individuals in our midst that need to experience your healing power and presence. You know the names of individuals on our prayer list. You know, O God, those situations voiced today. You know those situations on our hearts that just cannot be made public yet. You know, O God, the hurts and the needs around the world. Where there is hunger, where there is hatred, where there is violence, where there is evil. But we know, O God, that there are those places where there is love, where there is joy, where there is good news offered and proclaimed. O God, we pray for the mission and ministry of your church. We pray also for the lives of every person that is here today. And for those who are with us in spirit and not body. For those, O God, that live around us that need to hear and to experience your good news, we pray for them. We pray, O God, for our ministry within the walls of this church and outside the walls as well. Empower us, O God, to be your church and your people. For you bless us to be a blessing to those around us. O God, we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who has taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to hear these words from John's Gospel for us today, I would invite you to stand with me either in body or in spirit. John has these words for us today from the 14th chapter. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them. And we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom God will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this because before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us today, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, for the words in John's Gospel, we are grateful. We pray that they might be planted within our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. And now, O God, in these moments that we share together, we pray for a sense of peace and rest and comfort. Comfort, O God, from the activities of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. If you love Jesus Christ, you will keep his words. If you love Jesus Christ, you will read his words. And so then comes the question, well, how can I keep them if I don't know them? And how can I know them if I don't read them? What if you don't understand them? What if you don't study them? If I were to give you a test this morning and give you all a ream of paper and say, have at it. Write down every scripture, line, passage, story you remember. How many sheets of paper would you need? Would one ream be enough? Or would you need a second one? Those who love me will keep my word. And the Lord God will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from Almighty God who sent me. I have said these things to you while I'm still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom God will send in my name, will teach you everything and will remind you of all that I have said to you. So what about this Holy Spirit? The Spirit of God, the Advocate, the Helper, God's presence, the Paraclete. Does it make us squirm a little bit or feel uncomfortable when we talk about the Holy Spirit? Frequently there is confusion and fear, uncertainty in the life of the church when the presence of the Holy Spirit is mentioned. Over the years, historically, the church has not always been sure how to deal with the Holy Spirit. We've tended to take the Spirit of God and say, well, I've created this nice, neat little box, and I'd like you to go in here and then set that box on a shelf and say, there. There's the Holy Spirit. I've dealt with the Holy Spirit. Now I can move on. I really don't understand the power and the presence of God's Spirit because, well, I want to live life my way, not God's way. I'll do it when I can, but it's got to be convenient for me. I don't want to be too involved. I don't want to do this or that. Just keep the Spirit on the shelf. I mean, after all, how do we handle the gifts of the Spirit? And what are they anyway? Well, the gifts of God's Spirit include things like prophecy, teaching, serving, exhortation, which is speaking words of encouragement, giving aid, compassion, healing, working miracles, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, wisdom, knowledge, faith, discernment, apostleship, helps, administration, evangelism, and shepherding. Every one of you have at least one. At least one of those spiritual gifts that I just mentioned. Maybe some have two or three or four, and maybe sometimes in your life you're given a spiritual gift for a specific instance or event in the life of the church, and then it's gone just as quickly as it came, but replaced by something else for the work and the ministry of the church. Specifically, gifts are given for the work within God's kingdom, for the building of God's kingdom, the sharing and living of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is so concerned about each and every one of us here this morning in receiving the gift of the Spirit. Jesus knows that the Spirit is good for us. He knows that the Holy Spirit will teach us in His absence, and that we'll be reminded then, our minds will be flooded with those words that perhaps we've forgotten that Jesus spoke. The Scriptures say, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom God will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said. Now, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the disciples, we are told, remembered what Jesus had said and done, and they were brought into a deeper understanding of their faith in the mission and ministry that was before them, and that, my friends, was the gift of the Holy Spirit. Each and every one of us, we are also told, will receive peace. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." It's a new promise of assurance to the disciples of Jesus. This is the first time peace is mentioned in the Gospel of John. It's almost like Jesus was writing his will and giving to all his peace that passes our understanding. That perfect inward peace that just gives us that sense of calm in the midst of turmoil. I don't need to worry, because I know that everything is okay. The peace that Jesus is giving is his peace. And it is a peace that comes from the very heart of God. Dr. Paul Brand was speaking to a medical college in India. And he said, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see and behold the good works and give glory to Almighty God." And in front of the lectern was this little oil lamp that was burning. Smaller version, let's say, of the Christ candle. And there it was in front of the lectern with its little cotton wick and its oil and boldly shining. But as he preached, it ran out of oil. And it started to smoke and smolder. A wick burned dry produces a lot of smoke, and it began to make him cough as he was trying to preach, and he immediately grabbed hold of that opportunity. He said, "Some of us here are like this wick. We're trying to shine for the glory of God, but we stink." That's what happens when we use ourselves as the fuel for our witness rather than the Holy Spirit. Wicks can last indefinitely, burning brightly and boldly in darkness when they have the proper fuel, when the Holy Spirit is in constant supply in our lives. Indeed, the light of Christ boldly and brilliantly shines forth through each and every one of us. My friends, God loves you. And God wants the best for you. A relationship with Jesus Christ, nurtured and fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we might receive the peace of Christ. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have sent the Holy Spirit into the world, offering the gifts of your Spirit, showering upon each and every one of us. And then, oh God, you give the gift of your Spirit to be the fuel that enables each and every one of us to live and to move and to share and proclaim the good news of this one called Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Oh God, we pray that the light of Christ might shine every single day within our lives. Oh God, we know that sometimes we hide this light under a bushel and we say, "Oh, no, no, not today." As we come to receive this holy meal, forgive us for those past times when we've not allowed your light to shine forth within us, that we've hid it, that we've done, said, and acted in ways that are contrary to your will and your calling to each of us. O God, restore us today. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. We come together today to remember. To remember that Jesus gathered in that upper room with his disciples. It was the last meal Jesus was going to receive before his crucifixion. And that they were all remembering historically that moment when they were led from slavery in Egypt, led from captivity to freedom through the promised land. The final plague was coming that night, and the angel of death that would go throughout the land, and everyone was instructed to take a lamb, to slaughter it and to take the blood and put it on their doorpost. And that night, that blood protected them from the death of the oldest in that home, the firstborn. And as Jesus was gathering there with his disciples, he knew that his body and blood were going to be shed and crucified. And so he took bread. And he said, "This is my body, and it's broken for you. And eat it, and remember me." Blessed and broken for the world. And at some point then, Jesus took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant, my blood shed for the forgiveness of your sins and the sins of the world." Jesus knew how the Lamb of God had saved the people. And Jesus knew how he, as the Lamb of God, shedding his blood, would save the people. The cup of the new covenant, shed for you. As we come together today receiving communion in the pews, I ask that you hold the elements together, and as one body we will commune as one. In the United Methodist Church, this table is open. It belongs to all of us. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter whether you are a member here or a member anywhere. But if you seek to receive grace and forgiveness, you are welcome to commune together. Christ invites us. The table is prepared. Let us come. Jesus took a component of everyday life and every meal, bread, and has turned it into a precious gift. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's been broken for you. Take and feed on him and receive grace and forgiveness. Amen. The disciples knew that in the Old Testament system, an animal lost its life as a sacrifice and the blood was put upon the altar. The sacrificial lamb would be slain. And Jesus knew that that was coming for him and said, "This cup is a new covenant. It is my blood that is shed for your forgiveness. Drink, receiving grace and forgiveness, and remember him." Amen. Gracious and loving God, in this holy mystery of communion, we receive your presence, your grace, and your forgiveness. And pray now, O God, that we might be empowered through your Spirit to be your body in the world, to be your hands and feet, to be your words, to be those who bring good news. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn together. Gracious and loving God, as your people, redeemed by your body and blood, continue to guide and direct us, O God, with each step that we take, that we might bring and share good news to the world. For we go in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.